Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We are in Shenzhen. Thank you.
We're in Shenzhen.
Sorry, I totally choked. Oh, it's been a long day. We are in Shenzhen at the hotel, and we are at the WTA finals. And of course, there's some great champions here this week. And one former WTA champion of the finals is joining me for this episode of the Racquet Magazine podcast. And I'm so pleased to welcome Aga Radwanska.
Hello, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks. I used to call you Aggie, right?
Yes.
At the beginning.
Yes.
Why did I do that?
It was some people calling me Aga.
It's just Aga, correct one. I finally learned.
Okay.
It took me a while, but it's okay. But then again, I've called people worse, so it's
okay.
Good thing.
Okay. Yeah,
Aggie is not so
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, no, not too bad. Yeah.
One of the things that I always loved about you on tour, and it was you're one of the people that I talk about when I used to do on court like interviews, and I used to always try and bring out the funny side of people or have the relaxed side, and you were always so serious, and I'm like, Aga, you are so not that person, like. Be who you are, because you were one person that was very different off the court than you were on the court. Can you explain a little bit that?
Well, maybe in the interviews, especially right after the match, maybe I just didn't want to say something stupid, or I was just so tired that I just wanted to say something right. And I think so. Maybe it was just too much sun sometimes, and I was just, you know, wanted to be short and just want to get out there. I don't know, but I think you're just kind of careful what you're saying, especially when it's 15,000 people around you.
Were you able to be so different on court to what you are off court? Because you're pretty, very talkative off the court, you're very open and gregarious, but then on the court you always look so like the same. How difficult was that, or was that just a learned behavior?
I think learned behavior, I didn't really think about it much. I really had a tough way when I was a kid. We didn't have anything. I was really fighting for everything, and my dad as well. And we remember those tournaments, no empires, no nothing.
Yeah.
And sometimes the girls were cheating so much. And
cheating?
I was...
But hey, they cheat everywhere. It doesn't matter
what
country.
You cannot imagine. So I was always so angry. I was almost crying because, you know, the ball was even before the line. And, you know, all the situation every single week. And I think it makes you very strong on court. And you don't want to show anything.
Yeah.
And that was when I was 10, 12 years old. I was really a kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to cheat anyone. When it was out, it was out. When it was on the line, it was on the line. And I was always playing against the older ones.
Yeah.
So also, like, I was with the short, the small, and...
Not much changed.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that, you know, just for the childhood, you just have this kind of things that, you know, then you can... show it on the court, and you just didn't realize that.
Yeah. You grew up, obviously, and you are from Poland. You didn't have really anyone before you showing you the way. So how was that more difficult, or was it kind of really cool for you at the same time?
That's a very good question, because I think both. Like you're saying, I just didn't have anyone to look up to and to watch the practices and ask how it is, what I should do or not do. Didn't have anyone. It was Wojciech Fibak, but it was so long time ago, yeah. Different times, different tennis, everything mm-hmm. was different, so mm-hmm. you can't really compare. So I didn't know what the fitness looks like, to be honest, yeah. when I was 18 or 19 years old. I know what should I do, or the other players, how they practice and how I should look, everything from the beginning.
So how did you...
I did maybe 5% of it.
So how did you figure that out?
Just on tour. Mm. Just from experience and traveling around, seeing other players. And in Poland, we didn't have anything. So I was learning from the beginning when I was already on tour. And I should know that a little bit before, right? But nobody knew that. And but on the other hand side, maybe it was less pressure mm-hmm. because I think there's our Polish mentality that in Poland we don't have anything, so there's no chance for anyone to be there on TV, you know, like to play the biggest tournaments.
So the sky is falling, yes. mentality. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. So I wow. think I kind of proved that you can do it, even... Yeah. Practice in Poland without pretty much facilities, without
anything,
academies, without
balls,
anything. Like,
it's expensive to buy balls, to get practice partners.
Of course, everything is very expensive. I'm from Krakow. There are still no hard courts there. Can you imagine?
Well, why haven't you built one?
Well, I wanted to, but there was really not much space. And you want to do it in the city, not around it. Mm-hmm. And actually then...
Not one outdoor hard court.
No, not even indoor.
Well, what did you play on then?
I played on the grass with the.
No wonder you were so good on grass.
Yeah, I like the grass. Yeah,
but I can't imagine that
like
Poland,
low bands. Yeah,
but I can't imagine that Poland is known for grass. I mean, you don't exactly have the greatest of weather for grass.
So there's like sensitive grass, like with dust, like
a synthetic grass. Oh, so
yes.
with sand.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in Australia.
With sand or without, it depends where mm-hmm. and if you want to slide or not. But yeah, there's maybe two courts of real grass, but there's only
synthetic grass.
No, there's the real grass, but private. So next to the house, somebody is a very big
with
fan
some
of
money.
The grass. Exactly, and
my
they
God.
Have it. So no grass in Poland, absolutely not. My first time when I was playing on the grass was
Wimbledon Juniors?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
When I won.
So
that was a little bit crazy, yeah.
So that explains your game. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that you, because you have an unusual way to hit the ball, right? You like to absorb pace. Mm-hmm. You like to create certain mm-hmm. crazy shots. Mm-hmm. We all know that you're one of the greatest, like, shot makers of all time.
But I tell you why.
Okay, that's why we're here.
Because in Krakow, I was playing anywhere. When it was the court, when it was...
Street.
When they give us some courts indoor after everyone. So sometimes I have five practices on
five different courts.
Yeah, five different surfaces.
Amazing.
So it was kind of like, it looks like plastic from the shower when you shower.
You
have this kind of plastic.
Yeah.
So there was this kind of surface. Once was like really a piece of wood, like we're actually sitting right now on here. Then it was a little grass. Then of kind of like gummy surface, so yeah. fast, like unbelievable fast.
All mostly quick.
Yes.
Which is explains your game.
Yeah, there were no slow surfaces. And sometimes, of course, clay
yeah.
as well, indoor, outdoor.
Yeah.
So I think I was adjusting the surfaces as well pretty quick because that's where I was all my life. I was playing like this, whatever, just the net, lines, and we play. And doesn't matter what surface was on.
That explains so much.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew this about you.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is why we love to do the things like this and podcasts mm-hmm. and to get to know why and how you end up with the game that you have. So it's really important, I think, for some people to understand that there's not one way to play.
Yeah.
That you have to adjust to what you have. You also have to adjust mm-hmm. to how you are built, which you're not big and strong. You're about, mm-hmm. what, 5'8"?
I don't know what it was, 5'8". Well, 173.
Yeah, it's about that.
Okay.
I guess. I'm 5'10 and 178.
Okay.
So it's not, you're not that mm-hmm. big, mm-hmm. But you're, you know, and you don't exactly like have a huge build,
no.
But it just proves to you that you learn to adapt to everything.
Yes, and I think that's a really good lesson, like for even on the tour, when you really change the tournament sometimes pretty quick. Change the tournaments and from surface to surface. Sometimes even the hardcores are different,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. you have only one warm up
yeah.
before your match, and that's it. And
yeah.
you have to play. And
mm-hmm.
Sometimes now I can see, for example, kids playing 2 weeks on the surface, and they're saying, "Oh, they didn't adjust, and it's like too slow or too fast." Like,
because that's
oh
how
my
they
god,
grew up.
I think they have like too good. Everything is just too good sometimes.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. then you're just expecting much more,
yeah.
And but you had everything.
So would you recommend that young players, 10, 11, 12, for example, hit one day on hard court, maybe the next day on clay? Because that's an interesting way to think about it a little bit, right?
I think sometimes, why not? Of course, for the body it's hard,
yes.
because you're definitely running a little bit different, and for your body it's like it's big
thing.
It's
a shock, yeah.
But, of course, when you're a kid, the intensity is not that big.
Yeah.
You're running, you're light, like everything
you're having
is...
fun. You should
everything
be.
Is soft and it's not that quick. So for your body, it's not that hard like we were doing this right now.
Yeah.
Changing the surfaces, which
yeah.
we're going to feel in every bone in
yeah.
our body.
When we go from clay, for example.
Exactly.
I can tell people. We go from clay to grass. The number one word in the locker room is, do you have grass ass?
Yes.
Because your butt
yes.
is so sore.
Like coconuts.
Yeah.
I'm
like
saying.
Coconuts. Well,
yeah.
mine were never coconuts.
Okay.
But mine were always.
Oh, my always.
Mine were like flat tiles. Okay. I have no butt at
okay.
all.
Okay.
So, all right. So that's, thank you. That was incredible to listen to that part of like how things went for you as a kid and why you developed the game that you developed. So I guess, you know, changing to today, for example, I guess, what have you been up to?
Well,
because we're
going to
get
time.
Back into what
yeah.
the other stuff is. But
yeah, more free time for sure, less stress, and you're enjoying life, and you can do more activities that you were avoiding all those years just to be safe and not broke a finger.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy and time flies, and just, you know, I feel like I just retired 2 weeks ago.
Really?
And it's already 1 year, so... of course, I was busy with Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, that's right.
I was skiing.
That went very well for you.
Yes, yes. I really, that was a really great
you were the
experience.
Champion?
Not
runner
really.
Not semi-finals?
More like quarter.
That's
so,
how,
okay.
That's how we interpret things. What round did you get to?
Yeah, yeah.
Quarters,
yeah.
Okay, it's better than than first round.
Oh yeah. I was so afraid. Oh my god, not to lose.
There's
the
been
first
a lot
round.
Of tennis players that have gone not a lot, but a few,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them have lost in the first round.
Yeah,
so I feel good about that.
Yeah, not good feeling.
No.
Yeah, especially that you want to do good, and it's life, and you want to really see the best moves, and also like look nice.
Yeah.
And
well, you always look nice.
Well, you know,
try your best.
Yeah, exactly. But then I have, you know, a couple of hours to prepare, so it's good.
Yeah, and you have everyone else doing it for
exactly.
you. Hair and makeup. Welcome to television.
Yes.
So so the passions outside of tennis then, have you found any, or are you still trying to figure that out a little bit?
Well,
'cause 1 year is not a long time.
Yes. It's not about one sport. I think, you know, I like to do everything just for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Biking, or now I'm skiing again.
Oh,
rollerblading.
We should ski again. I love skiing.
Yes. So after 18 years of break, it was really good. It was
Are
really
you
nice.
Good? Are you good skiing?
No. And can you imagine? I was so tight. And
it's normal.
I just wanted to do it so good.
Yeah.
Of course, I remember a little bit, so I could do it. But I was so tight, and I was panicking when I was spinning a little bit more than I thought
you,
it was, should be.
Yeah, you have to learn pizza.
I had grass ass again. So I exactly knew what the grass is. Grass ass
feeling
is,
like.
Yeah, exactly. And after 4 days, I could actually...
Turn.
When I was turning on the one leg. Those 4 days I was on the both legs because I was so tight. So of course all friends were waiting for me down the bottom. Yeah, down the bottom, and I was like in the halfway, and I'm like, oh God, and I thought I was even, you know, going too fast. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is not good. So there's still ahead of me a lot of things that I have to learn. I'm studying as well.
Studying?
Yes. Of course, I'm studying already a couple of years, but now the goal is to finish the school. So hopefully that will be next year.
What are you studying?
Tourism. In the Polish University in Krakow. So, almost actually starting the fifth year. So
what do you want to do with your tourism degree?
I'm not sure.
Hotel?
I have already at a hotel.
Oh, excuse me.
In Krakow.
What's the name?
It's Agatha's Apartments.
Agatha's Apartments.
Are apartments. Every apartment is different because every apartment looks like a city when I won the tournament.
Oh, and how many tournaments did you win?
I won 20, but at the moment it's only 10 apartments.
Oh, what? Yeah. Why don't you build one with 20 apartments?
Yeah, well, I'm working on it. I mean, there's so much nice, a lot of people saying this. It's so nice because there's nothing like this in whole world that
That's cool.
And there's, of course, everything from the tournaments, rackets, towels, balls, souvenirs, badges, everything what I was getting, even the envelope from the prize money receipt,
it's
there. So it's from the tournament. So everything
What made you think to do that?
Well, to be honest, it's a lot of ideas from my mom, actually.
Really?
Yeah. She did a great job. She was taking care of it from the beginning, as she still does. So, she's in Krakow and, you know, looking after that. And I'm just going there and checking if all is okay. It's great to see that, you know, people are coming back.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And they love it.
Oh, that's good.
And all around the world, people from Singapore, from China, from Dubai, Russians, like everyone.
I have never been to Krakow.
Oh, so, there you go.
Can I request a particular room? Like maybe Eastbourne? I liked that.
Don't have
Eastbourne.
Eastbourne.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But there's a Wimbledon.
Okay. Oh, can I have the Wimbledon?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, everybody wants to.
No, you didn't win the Australian. Yeah. You came very close, though.
Yeah. It was 2 semis, I think.
Yeah. I think one you'd probably like to take back.
Yes, yeah. Probably a couple of them, but what do you do now?
Well, now, speaking of, so you're doing the hotel, which is great, and you're sort of figuring out what you want to do, you're doing your degree. Is there anything that you miss? Because it has been a year. And for me, it was a couple of years before I could let it go.
It's also like the both sides, because of course, you're missing the atmosphere at the tournaments because obviously you can still travel, you can still hit, and you can still run. But I think at the tournaments, there's the adrenaline that is always there, of course, and waiting for your match or watching
you
opponents.
You miss that?
I mean, the atmosphere that, you know, you're there and you have this adrenaline that you're going to go on court.
Yeah.
The same day or the day after, and you just, you know, you pumped up and you always feel like, you know, in the competition. And here is like, it's quiet.
You don't really have, do you feel like, this is going to sound terrible, but do you feel like you wake up and you don't have as quite a bigger purpose?
Not really, but it's, I think it's just the tennis adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I have, you know, I can be in the bed whole day because I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's just a tennis adrenaline that you're going to have only at the tennis tournament.
It's interesting that that's what you miss, because I find it interesting what people miss. Some people say, I miss my friends, or I miss, you know, certain cities. I miss winning. I miss the feeling of winning, you know. And you're saying you miss just...
But I think the tougher part is
the adrenaline.
But the adrenaline also, I think, it goes together with winning.
Okay, all right.
Because you're not going to miss something, obviously, when it's not positive.
Yeah.
And when you're losing, right? So the adrenaline is with winning. And
you don't miss the losing part?
Not really. but I think this is a part of tennis.
Yeah.
And I think we can even say tennis is for losers as well.
Yeah.
You're losing every single week.
Yeah, almost.
And you have to deal with that. Of course, if
sometimes you win.
If you name Novak Djokovic and you're losing two matches a year,
yeah,
it's maybe, yeah, right, it's,
yeah,
a bit different.
Yeah.
But this is Novak, and
yeah,
we are here, and
yeah,
you're losing almost every single week. So I think it's really, tennis is really for tough people.
Fucked up people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that what
I
you
agree.
Said, or did you say another word? Because I heard fucked up.
both, the funny both.
You know what I say? It's playing a professional sport for a living is legal addiction.
Yes,
you know,
it
like
is.
It's a drug.
It is.
But you're allowed to do it.
Yes,
or it's good.
I agree.
For you.
I agree because that's, you know, you're doing this for a whole year, and you're sacrificing everything for that.
Yeah, and the highs are high and the lows are low.
Yes, and you're up and down, and of course you're doing everything to be the best, but sometimes it's just not your day, or you just have this, you know, couple of months that, you know, you're just playing shit, and that's it.
That's
and
the way it is.
That's the way it is, and you're never going to play whole 10 or 11 months perfectly,
yeah,
because
no,
that's impossible. So, but
how did you handle the losses? Because some players really have a hard,
mm-hmm,
time. They lock themselves in their room for a day, or they really get depressed. Some are like, it's okay. You know, how were you?
I think I was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I have always something off the court.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't lonely. I had always some fun, either with sister, or with my husband right now, or with friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something that I could a little bit forget what just happened a couple of hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important, actually, especially
to live in the moment.
Just to have something,
mm-hmm,
off the court,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, you can just hang around and you seriously like forgetting you just lost a match from three matches.
So what
point.
Would you do with your sister or with your husband if you lost? Would you go out? Would
yes,
you...
just, you know, even talking, watching something, going out, or
mm,
just anything,
mm,
just not talk about tennis,
yeah,
like particular match or match points, set,
mm-hmm,
points. I mean, of course, the worst are when you have match points and you're losing the match. This,
yeah,
that's painful. That's painful,
mm,
and it's always going to be.
Yeah,
but
you ruminate over that.
Oh,
match,
yeah,
point.
And then,
I should have done this. I should have done that. Yes. Why didn't I do this?
Yeah. And
do
that's
remember?
The worst.
Is there one match that...
To be honest, I remember a couple of matches from the match points, but I'm not sure about what exactly happened, if I missed. But always actually saying that I was sometimes too scary in the important moments.
You didn't
and
go
I,
for it.
Yeah, I didn't go for it, and I should go for it, and that's what I said, and I remember saying to myself this many times.
Mm-hmm. Is there one specific, if there's one specific match that you could take back in your career and redo it?
From the match points?
Well, from match points or any point, really, because sometimes you can play a match and have a match point and feel like you did the right thing.
Yeah,
then sometimes you feel like you didn't have a match
ace
point.
Or aces,
yeah,
or something, yeah,
something, you know?
Probably is going to be more than one.
That's okay. I have many.
But it's hard to just... For example, of course, I would love to play one more final against Serena at Wimbledon. But to be honest, I didn't do anything wrong.
No.
She was just too good.
Yeah.
And
you can live with that.
I couldn't do much more. But I could, for example, go on the court with the experience that I have already,
yeah,
and play the better first set. I was so tired. I just slip away,
yeah,
so quickly. And
yeah,
maybe I would just start over again and maybe
be a
course,
little bit more calm.
Yes. And, you know, that set would be as good as the second or the third.
How difficult, if you were to talk to somebody who said, you know, maybe I'm playing my first final, like what experiences can you tell me about that?
I think it's just, to be honest, it's not much to say because that's the, again, the same match, the same opponent. It's just the final. So you're going on the court, you know that's the last match, this is the last day,
yeah,
of the biggest event in the year.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. You have to just to be there to feel it,
mm-hmm,
because there's nothing really special around it, right? It's the same court, the same match.
You put so much emphasis on it that you,
yes,
couldn't play in the
and
first
and it's
set.
In your head. It's only in your head.
Yeah.
So I think you just have to be there to know.
Yeah. So experience is
very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
You can't buy it, right?
No.
If you had another final, you would have approached it differently? Whether it was against Serena or whoever, would you have been a very different player, you think?
A little bit for sure. I mean, especially the beginning.
Yeah.
And sometimes we know the beginning is very important as well.
Yeah.
When you go for the first couple of games, mm-hmm. have more confidence. Mm-hmm. You know what you have to do.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's helping a lot.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you at least take some experience from that match and put it into other big matches after that, like, of course, winning the WTA finals that you did and a lot of tournaments that you won? Did, because obviously it's not as big as a Grand Slam final, but did you take some of the experiences from that and put it into the next lot of big matches after that?
Oh, yes. It actually, the other finals didn't really feel like a final because I didn't really feel that much pressure.
Yeah.
I remember I couldn't even turn my head. Because actually, I felt like I have like half of my pasta in my throat and I couldn't speak and I couldn't turn.
Yeah. You feel like pins and needles up the side of your neck, like you just... I was just... Out of body experience.
Yeah. I have to turn whole my body to turn. Yeah. Because my head was impossible only to turn, so...
Now, a question to ask you about that final. Because you and Serena are both in the members' locker room at Wimbledon. Did you walk out behind Serena or in front of her out to center court? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
What? You don't remember?
I think I was first.
You were walking in front?
I think so.
Okay.
I think
one
so.
One of the only reasons
I'm not 100% sure.
Well, one of the reasons I say that is because I hate to talk about myself, but in my last Wimbledon final, doubles final, I played Venus and Serena with Sam. Mm-hmm. And they were walking in front of us.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, as we were walking behind them, there's such a presence about them. Mm-hmm. Serena's just got those great shoulders and Venus is so tall. And there's just a presence about them that is so unmistakable, you know. And I remember walking behind and I wasn't intimidated by a lot of people in doubles. But I was like, I looked at Sam very quickly and was just like, because they just have a presence. So I was wondering if you walked in front or behind. You probably walked in front if you don't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Because the hallway's so skinny.
It is, and it's pretty long way to go.
It's
into
quiet.
By the stairs as well. Yeah. So, I think I was...
Did you have goosebumps when you walked out to the court? Or were you trying so hard to focus?
I think it was everything in my head. Especially, I had a lot of matches on the center court. The center court didn't impress me.
Yeah.
It was about this feeling that it's the last day.
We want to tell people, not it didn't impress you, it didn't scare you.
Yes, yeah.
Because you played so many times on it.
And I think the year I was playing 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And like half of the tournament I spent
on
the center court.
It was just the moment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. It's a memory, though. It's pretty amazing. Do you remember... You know, going back in your career, who was the most like fun for you to play against? Because you had, I have to tell you, when you retired, and I think I wrote you this on Twitter, I said, I will miss commentating you so much because you were literally one of my favorites. Because no matter everyone that played hits the ball big and hard and serve, and you always had something creative and fun. And
there's always something
I could
to say,
read
right?
where you were moving because I, you know, had my thought was the same as yours a little bit. And I loved watching you play, you know. Was there one player that you walked on the court and went, okay, I know this is going to be a really nightmare, long, but fun. And win or lose, I'm okay.
I think that was Svetlana Kuznetsova.
Oh, really?
I think, obviously, a great champion. We played so many times against each other on every surface. And I remember I lost to her from the match point. I won against her when
down
she
was...
I remember Madrid 6-3 down in the tiebreak in the third set, and I won.
Yeah.
So we had really good matches against each other. And I think she's the one of the players that she can do everything on court.
Uh-huh.
Very powerful, good touch,
yeah.
Mixing up, mm-hmm. playing spin,
yeah.
flat,
yeah.
slices, good volley. She can also
kick serve.
It's
yeah.
very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
So, you know, very always very entertaining
yeah.
and also very tough playing against her. And we had really long ones. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. One of my favorite matches, well, there's so many, I mean, so many that I can mention about you. But one of my favorite matches ever was when you played Dominika Sibulkova at Wimbledon
yes.
on court two. It
yes.
used to be the old court two.
Yes, yes.
And
now
that match
three,
was like literally the both of you were on your knees half the match because
yeah.
you were so exhausted.
Yes.
But it was like Domi's just killing the ball and trying to win the point, and you're like getting one more ball back and one more ball back, and
yeah, that was a good one as well.
It's yeah,
yes.
you guys had a great rivalry as well, but you had great rivalries against yeah. everyone. Speaking of rivalries, what do you think about Kim coming back? I mean, it's crazy, right?
It is crazy, and I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah.
Well, when you have three kids, such a good career, and a lot of things outside the court.
Yeah.
You think you can. Why? And
yeah.
But well...
Why do you think then? Have you spoken to her?
No.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the new challenge, I think.
Yeah.
She was a little bit bored at home maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just not enough adrenaline like we were talking about
yeah.
before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's looking for some more adrenaline and a new challenge. But well, it's going to be interesting. Now we can see a lot of young ones, very strong, playing as players that have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
There are no more easy matches, no more short matches.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough,
mm.
but I'm very curious how she's going to do because, well, I'm just also curious. She was playing Legends. She was still on court. And
trust me, I was playing doubles with her in
yeah.
Legends and she still hits the ball unbelievable.
Okay.
But there's a difference between
you.
Legends.
And the tour.
And the tour. So
yeah.
it's going to be a
yeah.
great challenge if she gets
yeah.
fit and has to stay healthy.
And also singles, because even
yeah.
doubles on tour is different than
yeah.
the Legends and
yeah,
what about singles.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, and I think the courts are also slower than before
yeah.
because they're doing everything to make the tennis a little bit, you know, longer on TV, better
yeah.
for the spectators.
Yeah.
Balls are also, I think, more like fluffy.
Balls are so different every week.
Different, yes. But
yeah.
I think they're not really, they're not fast.
No.
So
they're not like, they're not what we like.
Yes,
what
exactly. And I think 10 years ago, you could still have some tournaments that was a bit faster. The balls are a bit different.
Would you like to see that? Maybe you should put a tournament in Krakow and make it a fast court.
Well... It's for sure worse for the spectators and for
yeah.
TV to have,
yeah.
you know,
quick
only
points.
Quick points, aces and winners or mistakes. But, like, for Kim, I think it's going to be harder because you're not going to make winner from,
everything.
You know, from first shot because it's impossible. But, well,
we'll see.
I'm going to for sure want to see her first match.
So flip from her, for example, to someone like Coco Gauff,
yes.
that you've seen
yes.
play a little
yes.
bit. What do you think about her game? And would you have liked to have played somebody like that? Or can you imagine playing somebody like that young?
Can you imagine once in Miami, they asked me to hit with some girl.
Yeah.
Just
this is when you were playing?
Yes. It was 3 years ago.
So she was 12?
She was 12. I didn't know it's her. Yeah, sure. It was like 15, 20 minutes.
Why did they want you to hit?
Anyway, the same agent, and
okay.
you know, she's the girl that you know
mm-hmm.
Wants to play tennis and be
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
being around, and I'm like, yeah, why not? And she was already as tall as me.
As tall as you? She's an incredible athlete, no?
And really tall, like long legs. Like, okay, wow. And then we start to hit. And I thought, you know, it's going to be like really hitting.
Like 12-year-olds hit.
Yes, like, you know, just a little bit. And then she starts to hit like the 20-year-old. I'm like, oh my god. Yeah. Of course he makes some, you know, mistakes and that wasn't that consistent, but I was like, very skinny, but you know, so powerful.
Wow.
And when she served like 170 there.
Which you've never served in your whole life.
Exactly. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, I wish you're I like, could this serve like this. Oh my, okay, all right. And then like,
you're literally
Jesus, like,
this
I'm
like, is
when
bullshit.
I was 12, I was saying like 110 maybe.
Kilometers.
So, oh yeah, kilometers, not miles.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not even saying miles right now. So I was like, okay. And then 3 years later, I'm seeing her on tour.
Playing Venus
and beating players from top 20. I'm like, oh my, okay. I mean, I knew she's going to play, but not as fast
as that.
As that, because, I mean, 15-year-old, I remember me, 15-year-old, no, there's no chance even physically to play.
Like that.
It doesn't matter against who on the tour. There was just no chance physically. So I'm impressed, especially she's thinking on court. She's really thinking on court. She's not like, I calling this kind of like blind shooters.
Yeah.
So
the blind shooters meaning people that see ball, hit ball,
hard, doesn't matter where, just hard.
Give me an example of someone like that.
Well, I mean, it's not about, sometimes I think the girls panicking or not really thinking to change something.
Yeah.
And they're doing that. Like, why are you doing that? It's not going to help you at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see 15-year-old, now 16-year-old, girl was really thinking.
Mm.
She knows where to put the ball, when to hit, when to slow down a little bit. And that's very impressive. I think that's the most impressive thing about her.
Really? Above everything else?
I think so. Just to think. And she can use all her skills because she's really thinking and not panicking.
When you hit with her, did she talk to you? Did she ask you questions or was she quite shy?
Quite shy.
Yeah.
With her dad. And of course, I didn't have that much time because I was really...
Playing.
I was playing. It was... I was still in the competition. So it was really shy. Of course, we had pictures and talked a little bit, but she was just a kid.
Yeah.
And,
wow. So that's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
You're coming
is.
Up with some beauties today. Some great stories.
Yeah.
Wow. Coco Gauff at 12 and you're like, what the hell? You're my height and you're serving bigger than me already. What the fuck?
Exactly.
This is not fair.
Not fair at all.
What one of the reasons why you retired was, what was the overlying reason why you ended up retiring?
Mentally and physically. That was a combination of both.
Mm.
I don't know what was first. To be honest, it doesn't matter. And I think it always goes together in some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I just not going to play at the same level that I was playing last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, either I play and I'm top 10 or I'm done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like...
25, 30.
There are some players that, you know, playing for 5-6 years.
Going down
and playing some qualies and then some even ITF. And then,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't see... Like, for what?
Mm-hmm.
I have a, like, good life outside tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I was playing for so many years in a row because I think there's a lot of players that having breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a little bit different career
mm-hmm.
than when I was playing 13 years in a row without any breaks.
Yeah,
and
you played a lot.
Playing almost 50 Grand Slam in a row, that's a little bit different story.
Did you contemplate even for a second maybe coming back? Because there was word on the street that you might come back.
No, I at the moment we're sitting here, there's no chance.
Yeah.
Because I don't think physically that I can even be top 20 at the moment because
mm-hmm.
there is just too much for my body. Like we were saying, my body, it's not really the athlete body that we can see in others that is really strong and they
you
can
have
do...
You have a cross-country body.
Yeah, exactly. That's
can run for hours.
Exactly, like marathons and yes, and that's what I did actually.
You did.
I even at the moment I'm playing some doubles for fun, or I'm running, or I'm sightseeing, and I'm for example walking for 10 kilometers a day, and I'm cramping, and my foot are like is disaster.
Yeah.
So
and your back, how's your back? Because that was one.
Oh,
of the
my
reasons.
Back is also it's terrible.
And your shoulder.
I still now there's no chance for me to surf because
your shoulder's so bad.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Sometimes I'm trying, but it's a joke.
So when you and your husband have children, because this is going to happen, right, one day?
Yes.
Are you going to put them into tennis?
Well, I have nothing against.
Or is grandpa? Oh, grandpa
for sure. No, I think grandpa will love to play with grandchildren. So, I think it all depends, right? I mean, I think when you see kids, you can really see from the beginning if they can do it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think not everyone can play tennis and will play tennis because you see it's just not going to happen, right?
Yeah. And well, some don't want to put their kids in their sport and some really do, so... Well, and your husband is the Fed Cup coach, captain
yes.
for Poland. So, you know, he might want his child to be
of course. Playing tennis. I have nothing against. And now, actually, I'm building a house. And I want to also court
in
next to the house. Yes.
Oh, my God. You're an anomaly. Seriously. No, most tennis players don't want to see it.
So, tell me if it's sick or it's normal. Yeah, so
it's interesting,
right? So, you know, I have nothing against, and I would love to hit as well right now with the kids, with friends. But for me, just the chapter of professional tennis, it's over. But it's not like I hate tennis and I cannot.
Some people hate tennis.
I know the players who hate tennis, and I talk with a lot of them.
Yeah. That they don't ever want to play again.
Oh, and they really they can't even talk about it.
Really?
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's...
I won't ask you to reveal any of them.
No, but it's...
But I'll ask you once we turn the tape off.
Exactly. But it's interesting that some of the players that I also talk to, they're saying there's no chance their kid's going to play tennis.
Yeah, interesting.
Because I think it's not easy. Yeah. We all know how much work and how many years of sacrifice... Mm-hmm. It's on the way to be here where we're just sitting. So it's not about 1 year or 2 years. Sometimes there are the sports that they're starting when they're 12, 14.
Yeah.
When you want to really be on the top, you 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
And everything in the tennis is always the priority from the beginning.
It's the priority from the beginning. Yeah.
So it's really, really hard. Of course, when you're on the top, you're always saying, yeah, it's like you're not regretting and you'll never change your life or something different. But there's millions of people that they're not on the top and they sacrifice so many things.
Yeah.
And now they have pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
So that's why I think those players who knows that, you know, how much work is on the way.
It's tough.
They're not
they
really
know.
They want
they don't they, want their kid to be unhappy.
And really see that the same way over again.
So I have to ask you, because your dad was your coach for a long time.
Yes.
And your sister played. Were you always, from the start to the end of your career, always happy about tennis?
Well, my dad used to play, and for as a kid, we didn't have a choice. We had to play
tennis. Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You like it or you don't like it.
I don't care. You play.
You play. You practice. Or you feel a bit sick. It doesn't matter. You play tennis and then you can go to the bed. So very strict.
Yeah.
And always the priority, always in the first place. And there was nothing about it. And I think the mentality of people are a bit changed.
The mentality of
I think parents that they were they're the one to kids having this kind of
so your dad
childhood.
Your dad wanted it more than you at the beginning,
of course, because I was I think too young and too small
to
even think and dream that I'm gonna be on TV and actually playing against Serena, because I was watching Serena for so many years and have on her posters.
So
what's
the balance then for parents?
It's always hard to say. And I think a lot of... It's all about kid how he sees tennis. Because some of them, they want to play whole day.
All the kids,
All the kids sometimes. And sometimes there's a kid like, yeah, I'm tired. I don't want
to
do
it. And you
it.
Need to push them.
Yes. So I think it's all about the mentality of the kids.
So basically you're saying it's okay to push your kid if they need to be pushed.
Yes.
But you also have to recognize if there's somebody who doesn't need to be pushed, but I think if you were to raise a child, you would push them, but you would always make sure they're happy.
Yes, because I think you kind of have to push, because I don't think...
You have to push sometimes. Yeah.
5 or 7 year old kid is not smart enough to know
what's
what they want.
Right or wrong, yeah.
Or if he wants to play tennis or, I don't know, basketball.
Swing, yeah.
Or it's just, the kid is just too young. So
yeah.
that's the parents here who make this
Ooh,
decision.
I can't wait for you to have kids.
It's always very tough. And there's like no recipe for everyone,
champion.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of details on the way, like hundreds of details, I think,
yeah,
you know,
Well, you're building a house and putting a court next door. I have
yes.
a slight suspicion your kid is going to play tennis.
Well, for sure it's going to play,
not,
but how? We'll see about that.
Well, probably a little different to you because it will be a nice hard court, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Or a grass
yes,
court.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Well, a hard court for sure.
Okay.
Because you know it's
grass
easiest.
Is very
it's easiest.
Difficult to take care of.
But for me, like I grew up on clay.
Okay.
We didn't have hard court, and everywhere was just the clay, and also
the synthetic
ITFs,
grass and all that.
We're just on clay courts everywhere,
yeah.
And I didn't have money to go to the States or to
travel.
I don't know, travel around the world. So everything important on Europe, Czech or Slovakia was on clay
or indoors, fast
or indoor carpet.
Mm,
carpet indoor.
Yeah.
And then actually I was starting to play on tour and on the hardcore, and I was always saying, I hate hardcore because I don't know how to play on hardcore. This is so bad. And I was so pissed. Like, why do you have to play on hardcore? And then it was like 90% of the
tour
is on hardcore.
Because honey, you have no choice.
Like, no choice. And then I suddenly changed 180. Like,
no, because you realized how good you were on hardcore.
And then I love hardcore. I was playing everything on hardcore. And then every, like, year by year, I just couldn't play on clay anymore because I was physically not strong enough.
Yeah.
And it took me so much energy.
Yeah.
I couldn't finish the ball. And it's just one match. It was like 4 matches on the hardcore.
Yeah.
And I hated it. And like, I wasted so much energy.
But
and it cost me so much. Cost me so much.
Playing that on clay.
On clay. So that's why, like, last 3 years I didn't play on clay.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, look how that changed.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's interesting. So it doesn't matter when you start.
It doesn't matter when you start or what you start on.
Yes.
It depends on what you end up being good at.
Yes.
And also understanding players are different. They hit the ball differently to you. And you played with your sister a lot, and she plays a lot different to some other players on the tour.
Exactly. But also different tennis. Like when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
Year old.
To 27.
It was just different tennis.
Yeah.
Different
yeah.
opponents, different girls. I mean, there's just, you know, everything changed. So
okay, you've been so nice to spend your time here. We're actually sitting and watching Bencic playing Svitolina in the semi-final, so we'll see what happens because Bencic just won the first set. But I want to know from you, I saw so many great, unbelievable shots of yours, you know. If there was one shot that you were like, God, you know, if you have kids and you're like, okay, there's one shot, watch this from mommy, watch this shot from mommy.
Watch every single day.
Yeah, what one would it be?
I think that shot from Miami when I was playing against Fipkens.
Yeah.
I think that was the shot that was not happening, right?
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And you cannot see that shot every single day, right? So,
yeah.
You know, that's the instinct. That's the reaction.
Yeah, that's the instinct.
You're not practice that. That's the reaction.
But some players wouldn't
what
even
you were saying,
think.
We're not, you're not panicking. You're just seeing what is happening. And you do it.
Things go from really fast to really slow. And when you have a brain like yours and you have the ability to create on the tennis court, everything slows down. No?
Exactly. And you think you have so many seconds just to prepare, to think, and then to play.
Yeah.
And actually in the real world, you have just half second.
No, not even.
Not even sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, it's really funny that you bring that up because I was commentating that match.
Oh, really?
When you did that.
Okay.
And
that was a good match. That was a good
match. It was a great match. And, you know, Flipper, poor old Flipper, because, you know, she got, which she felt got hooked a few times every year because she felt like she had the best shot on the WTA Tour. And you won it every year no matter what.
Yes.
And so we want to give a bit of credit to Flipper.
Yes.
And of all the people that you hit your greatest shot against, it was against poor old Kirsten Flipkens.
Yes.
But because she's had some beauties through the
years. Oh, yes. And I actually voted for her once. She made that unbelievable shot. And knew it's gonna be her because that was unbelievable. I think it was a twinner and she made some winner from that, and oh, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I'm ending up winning again.
You won it again. She's like, what have I got to do?
Yeah.
What have I got to do? Hit a ball with not looking?
Exactly.
Oh, wait, you've already done that. Yes. No, that was truly one of the greatest shots I've ever seen. And I literally got out of my chair as a commentator and just went, are you joking?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, I miss commentating your matches.
And actually, I'm also missing that kind of shots and... talking about it, because this is always something that you're going to remember for so many years.
Yeah.
And
miss that adrenaline on that.
yes. And also, it's always when I was doing that on court, I was like, I was thinking, oh my God, is this going to be shot of the year? Or I have to do it better?
You really thought that?
Yeah. So, especially when it was like, when I won already twice or three times, I was like, okay, I have to do it again. Yeah.
Well, it was always such a pleasure. First of all, it was always a pleasure to play against you, even though it was a nightmare because nobody could hit a cross-court backhand passing shot past me at the net better than you. And you did it a lot of times. But I always had so much fun playing against you because it was always the same. You gave everything. It was fun. You left it on the court. We smiled and we talked off the court. We always had a great relationship. You're always awesome to be around on the tour. We miss you out on tour. But it's been great to see you this week. It's also, I miss commentating you because, like I said, you were truly one of my favorite to commentate anytime. But I'm really happy that you're happy and life is good for you. So
yeah, life is good. And, well, maybe we'll play some doubles and legends so I can do those backhands again.
Can you? Because, you know, I am pretty good with the trick shots as well.
Trust me, I'm not losing my touch. Okay. So better be careful.
Guess what, honey? The touch is all that's there from me, you know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
You know, I did hit a tweener one time in the Wimbledon final, doubles final.
I really hope we can play some doubles.
Yeah.
Well, soon. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to put it out there right now. Radwanska and Renee Stubbs would like to be paired together at a Grand Slam in the Legends.
Yes.
Because you will not have more fun. And in actual fact, I am losing my Legends partner in Kim Clijsters at Wimbledon.
That's right.
We won it like last year. We had to default this year because Kim hurt her neck.
Oh, okay.
And we were undefeated. So.
Okay. Therefore, there you go.
Therefore, Radwanska and Stubbs sounds pretty good to me.
Yes, for me as well.
Thanks,
buddy. Let's do it.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
I love you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to come and visit you in Krakow when you build your new house.
Okay.
We can practice there.
Exactly. Then perfect. I have a court.
Yeah. And you know, if you kick me out, I've got a hotel I can go to.
Exactly.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
And that's it for this episode of the Racquet Magazine podcast. Thanks for listening. Our host is Renee Stubbs. Our co-host and producer is me, Caitlin Thompson. Music by internationally renowned DJ Stretch Armstrong. Thanks to Tim Rogerian and the team at Acast. Find us at racquetmag.com/podcast and subscribe to us at any of your favorite podcatchers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.